Take your Bibles this morning, if you will, and turn it to Exodus chapter 20. We continue our study in the book of Exodus, and more specifically, in the Ten Commandments. Not exactly the ten suggestions or the ten good ideas, but the Ten Commandments. I should have had them stay today for today's commandment. There's so much material that I want to cover that I'm going to be talking primarily this morning to young people. Well, to really all of us and our responsibility to honor our parents. Tonight, I want to talk more specifically to parents and our responsibility in light of the fifth commandment, what we should be doing to help our young people to obey God's word. You know, God's plan for preserving the family really starts in the fifth commandment. We say that a strong nation is made up of strong communities. Strong communities are made up of strong churches, and strong churches are made up of strong families. Then you understand why Satan has put a big bullseye on the biblical family in our culture today. And can you not see the ripple effects now, not just in our community, but in our nation as the family crumbles around us? Well, I believe one of the foundational blocks for the family is Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, I want you to understand something about the placement of this commandment. Some people may believe that when God gave Moses two tables of stone, that there was two copies of all ten commandments there. That would not have been something that would be unusual in that day and age, that both people that were partaking of the covenant would have a copy of that. As a matter of fact, even today, when you go to the bank and you buy a house, you're going to sign twice as many copies, because you've got to leave one there with the bank and you're going to take one home with you. That's still something we do today. But maybe while that could have happened, I think probably they are divided really 4 and 6. You look at we've looked at the last four commandments, and they all have to do with our responsibility to God and how we interact with God. But the last six commandments really deal with our responsibility in dealing with other man. So when we look at the first four commandments, they're aimed at God. The second set of commandments, the next six, are pointed vertically to man. And so when we think about how are we going to relate to mankind, the very preeminent commandment that God gives us is the parent-child relationship. Now, human relationships cannot be completely divorced from our relationship to God. But isn't there really a distinction there? The first four commandments teach us about God, and the last six teach us to love our neighbor. The love of God has to come first. That has to be preeminent. That must be first place. Colossians tells us that much, that Jesus Christ should have the preeminence. You know, if we cannot honor or respect God, there's no way that we'll honor or respect our fellow mankind, or our fellow man, excuse me. And so God starts with our families. Loving our neighbor starts at home. No other human relationship is so basic, so fundamental, and I don't believe anyone is more important than that of a parent and a child. You know, that relationship is the first and primary relationship that child has under normal circumstances. One author said, God intends the family to be our first hospital. I was thinking about that. Think about the times that you bandaged up a scraped knee or a scraped elbow, or maybe you had yours bandaged. That loving care, that tender, loving care that your parents, your mom gave you. God intends the family to be the first government. Dad executes the law, not the child, the law in the home. That relationship is the first school, the first church in the sense, the place of worship. It ought to be. That author said, if we do not respect authority at home, we will not respect it anywhere. Now, I think the fifth commandment deserves to be put under a magnifying glass. In the day, in the culture in which we live, especially, that word honor is translated from the word kavod. I'm sure I didn't pronounce that right. But it's a heavy word, literally. It means heavy or weighted. It's the word the Old Testament uses for the very glory of God, for the weightiness and the majesty of God himself. And so when God tells us to honor our parents, it's to give them the recognition that they really deserve as God's appointment and their life as their God-given authority. So to honor is to respect, is to esteem, is to value, it's to prize fathers and mothers as blessings from God to that child. Now, what's the opposite of honor? It's dishonor, right? Just as the fifth commandment requires respect for parents, it forbids them from showing disrespect. If I could put it this way, if God says to honor, and that means that should carry weight, God does not want us to treat our parents lightly. To live as though the fifth commandment didn't exist anymore. You know, some people would say that obedience is the primary way that children show honor at that young age. But do you realize, as my wife and I were talking this week, she reminded me that you can obey and still dishonor. You have a bad attitude, be speaking ugly things in your heart. You can obey and not honor, but you cannot honor and disobey. In my study this week, I was reminded of ODD, and I don't mean odd. ODD is oppositional defiant disorder. It's a type of behavioral disorder, according to secular science today, or psychology. It's mostly diagnosed in childhood, and children with ODD are uncooperative, defiant, hostile toward peers, parents, teachers, you might be surprised to find out other authority figures. Found a website that goes on to say researchers don't know what causes ODD, but they're helpful to give us some symptoms. I promise you this is a real website. Having frequent temper tantrums, arguing a lot with adults, refusing to do what adults ask, always questioning rules and refusing to follow rules. Doing things to annoy others or upset others, including adults. Blaming others for the child's own misbehaviors or mistakes. Often having an angry attitude. Speaking harshly or unkind. Seeking revenge or being vindictive. You know what I read when I read that list of symptoms? I read about a child that's been left to himself. Child that's not been given boundaries, not been loved enough to be told no early enough in their lives. Our children are being taught that disobedience is a disorder rather than a sin. Let me remind you that the Bible teaches a deep revulsion to this kind of disrespect. What do I mean by that? Do you realize that some of the most severe punishment that was doled out in the Old Testament was reserved for children who rebel against their parents? Let me just give you two examples very quickly. Leviticus 20, verse 9, "For everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother. His blood shall be upon him." Deuteronomy 28, verses 18 and 19 say, "If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son," I think I saw a couple of those on the list of symptoms of the ODD child. It's not saying that if your son has oppositional disorder. He's saying if your son is rebellious, the Bible calls it. If they're stubborn, they're not listening. It says they will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them. Verse 19 says, "And then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place." If you go down to verse 21, it says, "And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you. And all Israel shall hear and fear." Now, we don't live in that dispensation. And I'm not even suggesting remotely that children ought to be stoned for their disobedience and rebelliousness. But I want you to understand how severe that sin is in the eyes of God. You know, a lot of adults and young people assume that the breaking of the fifth commandment is simply part of growing up. That's just what it is to be a teenager. That's the way most sitcoms and television shows portray the family, at least when I was growing up. People think that's just part of the process. My friends, rebelliousness does not have to be part of the process of a child coming to age and becoming an adult. I'm not saying there's not going to be struggles and there's not going to be times of discipleship and discipline. They don't have to be rebellious. But I'll tell you this, God obviously considers dishonoring one's parents to be one of the worst sins that someone can commit. Have you ever thought about it that way? In the New Testament, disobedience is listed in you just write this verse down, 2 Timothy verses 3, 1, and 2. It's one of the signs that we're living in the perilous times of the last days. Verse 1 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." You notice in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, that it says, "Honor thy father and thy mother." I think that's pretty interesting, especially coming from that culture in that day. The Bible certainly makes clear that the fathers have a unique responsibility. It is our privilege, but also our responsibility to take leadership, spiritual leadership, especially of the home. But that doesn't mean that mothers don't deserve the respect and the honor due that their station, if I could put it that way, their God-designed place in the family. Proverbs 6:20 says, "My son, keep thy father's commandment and not forsake the law of thy mother." In fact, Leviticus 19:3 mentions mothers first. "You shall fear every man his mother." Some of you had mothers like that, maybe. "And his father, and keep my Sabbath, I am the Lord your God." So God is telling us that young people should not be taking advantage of their mothers, but to give them that equal respect and honor that is due their fathers. I'll tell you, this commandment was unparalleled in the Old Testament, in that ancient world. What is ironic to me is that there's a constant attack on the Bible saying that the Bible is all about patriarchy, meaning it's really aimed towards men. passing on power from one generation to the next. But when you study your Bible, you're going to find out over and over and over again that God brings women from places of being owned or chattel up to a place of esteem and equality. Now, we have different design and different roles. Both are needed. But God elevates the woman over and over again, which, when it was written, was completely counterculture. And so the irony is that those that are saying that it's a messianic book, the Bible, that is, need to look at places where Christianity has never been and find out how women are treated there. And so here, right in Exodus, the Bible tells us that mothers should receive as much honor as fathers. By the way, if I can just have a little aside here, let me just... Do you know what that eliminates? It eliminates two dads and two moms raising children. Children, biblically, but also, has been proven by the studies show over and over and over again, they need a father and a mother. Now, if you were raised in a single home and you didn't have a father or a mother, we'll talk about that in a bit, but I'm thankful that God makes a way for single parents to raise a child. But that's not God's perfect design, all right? He steps in, and I believe he becomes a father to the fatherless. But unless a parent has been removed, and I'll say specifically, by going home by death, every child is expected to honor both father and a mother. And that's God's pattern for all people, in every place, for every generation. There's no exemption. Obviously, God's told us that, but what are some other reasons that we ought to honor our parents? Well, parents deserve to be honored, I think, for many of the sacrifices they have made in raising their children. Those of you that are adults, think about the sacrifices. It's easier now to look back and realize some of the sacrifices you've made maybe pale in comparison to what your parents did. Or maybe you are sacrificing, but it doesn't feel like a sacrifice. Not only that, I believe they ought to be honored because they have life experience. They have experienced a lot further down the road. Again, there's no expiration on that. When you're in your teens and your parents are in their 30s or 40s, you ought to be listening to your parents because they have walked that path further. But you know, when you're in your 40s and your parents are in their 60s or 70s, there's great wisdom there. Not only that, keeping the fifth commandment simply glorifies the Father. That ought to be enough. Colossians 3:20 says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." Now, I realize it says obey there, but as we said, I believe obedience certainly is one way that we can show honor, especially when we're living in the house. So, young person, let me say this. If you want to please the Lord, simply obey your parents. God's pleased with that. Not only does it say that it's well-pleasing to the Lord, God simply says it's right. It's right to do that. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, Ephesians 6:1 says. So these are, I believe, all good reasons that we ought to keep the fifth commandment. But inside the commandment that is given, it's interesting to me that God gives an incentive. He tells us that when we honor our parents, it's in our own best interest. Exodus 20:12 again, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." You know, I quoted Ephesians 6:1 just a moment ago, but when you go down to Ephesians 6:2, it says, "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And so verse 1, he says, children, obey. In verse 2, he is likening that obedience to honor. And he says, it's the first commandment that is given with a promise. What is the promise? That you'll live long upon the land. Now, I think that promise is given special incentive, encouragement to children. Sometimes it's hard to obey. So God makes it easier because he gives a reward that comes along with it. Now that promise, I think, had special meaning to the Israelites. They were promised the land, and they were going to be able to live there. God had promised to lead them to a new and better country. Remember where they are. They have just come out of Egypt, being slaves, working day after day after day. And now they are promised to live in the land that God has promised them. But the general promise, by the way, I don't think should be taken that children who obey their parents are going to live to be 90. Okay? I don't think it also means that someone who dies young is guilty of breaking the fifth commandment. God has a providential will, sometimes only known to him, and sometimes he allows people to come to or meet a what we would call an untimely end, even if they consistently honored their parents. But I believe the promise is still there. Children who honor their parents receive the gift of life. So what does it mean, talking about long days upon the land? Does that mean we're going to be given 28-hour days? We're going to be able to do more with the time that we've been given? Some of us would wish that. On that thought, just remember that God has given each one of us 24 hours to accomplish his will in our life. It just simply means often we have to prioritize what God's given to us. No, it's not about having a longer day. It's not even talking, I believe, about how old somebody is going to be when they die. When it talks about that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, it carries a Hebrew idea for the fullness of God's blessing in their life. And what they're saying, in a sense, is if you want not just life, but life abundant or more abundantly, honor your mom and dad. That's what's confirmed in verses 2 and 3 of Ephesians. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Verse 3, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. So I do think there's a biblical principle that is given. Anyone who wants, anyone who desires a long life of abundance, and I don't mean materially, I'm talking about spiritually, should honor their father and mother. Let me give you one more reason why I think it's important for children to honor their parents. God has given moms and dads the privilege, but also the great responsibility, to teach their children how to know and serve the Lord. Children aren't going to learn those lessons if they don't respect their parents. Children aren't going to keep the fifth commandment if their parents, let me reword that. Young people are not going to learn what God expects from their life if they're not keeping the fifth commandment. Somebody that exhibits those behavioral dysfunctions doesn't want to hear anything about God. They only want to please themselves. But the most important truth that we'll pass down to the next generation is that the Lord Jesus Christ died for them, for their sin. And so spiritual instruction is a responsibility for both fathers and mothers. Proverbs 1:8 says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Proverbs 3:1-2 says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. And I believe the writer of Psalms there was kind of condensing or summarizing what they were taught about the fifth commandment. You know, I think that sometimes when people begin to learn about God's design, about his plan for the family especially, it can bring sadness, heartache, disappointment to people who have never had a Christian upbringing, or someone that had just a background of understanding what God expects out of family. Sometimes I'm asked, as a person that isn't raised in a Christian home, at a spiritual disadvantage? And I would say yes. Sin always harms someone. Do you understand that? And so when parents do not raise their children, we'll talk more about this tonight, but in a way that is teaching them what God expects, there is a deficiency there. Not one that can't be overcome. Not one that can't be compensated for by learning what God does expect. We sometimes say more is caught than taught. But when we know that we did not have the example that God would have us to be, it is incumbent upon us then to learn what that example should be and be that example for our children, making it easier for them then to raise a family. You say, what if my wife has passed? What if my husband has passed? The Bible gives every child of God this precious promise in Psalm 27:10. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Now, passing away isn't forsaking, but you understand the principle is that God steps in when there's an uncontrollable deficiency. Praise the Lord for that. And so there's no age limit to the fifth commandment. Now, several of the commands that are given in Ephesians that I read, or even Colossians, very specifically the word children there is talking about someone that is under the authority of another, technon. And it is not talking about just babies. It's talking about one under authority. And so I would put it this way. If you are living with your parents, if you're under their roof, let me rephrase that. If you're not out on your own, if you're receiving financial compensation from your parents for being their child, you ought to obey them. You understand? You're not out on your own. You're not there making your own decisions. When you're paying for your own car and your own place to live, and you're paying for your own insurance and your own life insurance, when you are out on your own, that doesn't mean you no longer have to honor your parents. But it doesn't mean that you're under their authority in that way. I'm talking primarily to young men. I think when young ladies get married, then that's the whole idea of the father turning over responsibility, but also authority to the young man. Who gives this father? Excuse me. Who gives this young bride? The father does. There's a responsibility there. So what does honor look like? I think in young children, God wants young people to speak respectfully to their parents. He wants them to use good manners. He wants them to obey their parents, listen, sweetly and completely. That means doing what you've been asked, young person, with the right attitude right away. It's hard not just to rush right into parenthood in this. But I do want to ask you as parents, how many times do you want to ask your children to do something before they're required to do it? You say, I only want to ask once. What are you doing about that? How are you helping your child? How many times have you been in a store and a child is just going absolutely crazy, and not until a mother reaches a certain fevered pitch does that child wake up and say, oh, we are close to the breaking point. I better do something different, like take a step away from my mother while I act like a fool, right? Because something's coming. All I'm saying is it shouldn't come to that. shouldn't have to come to that. The fifth commandment is also for teenagers. I remember being a teenager. Don't you just think that as teenagers, most parents consider their parents out of touch? They don't know very much about life. A lot of parents deserve more credit than that, I hope. But no matter where you think your parents are, they deserve that honor, that respect, that obedience. Honoring a father and mother, I think, means speaking well of them, not only to others, but to yourself in your heart. To your friends, not running them down. It means listening what your parents have to say, including the warnings that they may have for you about spending too much time on things that may be harmful to you. Whether those things are electronic gadgets or friends that they don't approve of. I think part of honoring parents as a teenager means talking to your parents. Much like a young person, we want that to be respectful, but it enters a different phase, if I could say that. There's a different kind of communication. I read this week about a mother that said her son went through his entire senior year of high school doing nothing more than grunting at her. I've noticed this, that young people that are right with the Lord have no problem with authority in their life. The fifth commandment is also for young adults. It's amazing. Around the age of 20, sons and daughters begin to recognize that their parents are a gift from God. I talked to a college graduate, this has been a couple years ago. He told me how excited he was, and he was a little surprised that he was starting to have a better relationship with his parents. I kind of half-jokingly said to him, it's amazing how wise your parents have gotten over the last couple of years. Young person, let me remind you that you're going to have some major decisions coming down the road. Whether you're a teenager, late teens, early 20s, deciding about your education, deciding about your career, whatever God has called you to, deciding about that person that you believe that God may want you to spend the rest of your life with. Let me tell you, those are weighty, heavy, hard, dangerous decisions that have to be made. If you were traversing through the jungles of Africa, it'd be much, much safer to go down a path that someone has already gone, or at least have a map of where you should go. Children, young people, teens can honor their fathers and their mothers by seeking their counsel. Don't try to go it alone. God's given you parents oftentimes to be guardrails. Because while you think you know what you're doing, Satan is a master at laying snares. Now the decisions are going to be ultimately yours to make, especially when you leave the home. I'll tell you, there's great wisdom, whether you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, or 50s, as long as your parents are still alive, there is wisdom in going to your parents and getting help whenever you can. What about children that don't come from Christian homes? Or that parents fail to give godly advice? Remember, the children of Israel were told to honor their parents so they could learn, really, better to know God. We said that's one of the greatest responsibilities and one of the greatest reasons why we ought to obey the fifth commandment. But what if they aren't even believers? Or what if they are believers and they're trying to stop their children from doing what God has called them to do? What does it mean to honor your father and mother then? That's a real question that needs to be wrestled with. And unfortunately, I fear that this situation is not uncommon. It's all too common. Mom, Dad, I feel like God's called me to be a missionary. No, he hasn't. Sit down. Hey, I think God wants me to marry a preacher. Oh, no, I'm sure that's not God's will for your life. What are you going to do? I think some parents find it very hard to accept their children putting Christ first. About the decisions in education, career, family, ministry. I've noticed this in life. Where there is faith, where there is devotion, there is division. Where there is faith in the family, the Lord brings those family closer together. Where there is a lack of faith, there is a chasm or division that is there. Now, I think that's what the Lord was talking about in Matthew 10:37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. When it comes down to a choice, the Christian's true father is that father in heaven, and it is his will that we must ultimately follow. We are responsible to accomplish God's will in our life. It's one of the reasons the Bible tells us to obey our parents in the Lord. I think that's a very, very important qualification. The honor we owe our parents never come at the expense of the honor that we owe God. So when Christians who need guidance don't have a parent that they can really know that they're going to get godly counsel, they can't rely on their parents for godly counsel, they should come to someone that they do trust for godly counsel. I think going to your church family is a good place. Now, not contemporaries. I had a good illustration. I don't have time for it this morning, but you don't want to go to your contemporaries to get advice for your life. You go to somebody that has walked further down the path of life than you have, that knows the pitfalls. Even if they didn't get it right, they know what is right. Now, that doesn't mean you don't love your parents. It doesn't mean you don't appreciate them. But it does mean ensuring that you are obeying God in those times of conflict. What about for those that are or that have parents that are in the winter of their life? Does it mean we don't honor them anymore? No, there's no expiration on the fifth commandment. I believe that it means showing your love, your care, your appreciation for them. It means ensuring that they are cared for in the winter of their life. And I know several that have taken care of their parents in their own homes. And that's the way it used to be. And I realize some things have changed and some of our cultures change. So I'm not saying necessarily they have to live in your home, but you need to make sure that they're cared for. We are indebted to our parents. The Bible says in Proverbs 23, verse 22, "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not the mother when she is old." You know that's what happens in our culture today. People begin to despise their parents. I read one statistic that said less than half of Americans think that children have a responsibility to care for their elderly parents. A lot of children just abandon their parents. Or worse yet, where many states have legal, basically assisted suicide, there are families that are signing their parents up for that sort of thing. Let me tell you, that's a marker of a godless society. And I believe it's true in the one in which we live. You know, when Jesus saw some of the Pharisees refusing to provide help to their parents in their old age, he accused them of violating the fifth commandment. Matthew 15, I believe in Mark as well, says for God, in chapter 15, verse 4, it says, God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth his father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift. In Mark, they use the word kobane, but it carries this idea of something that has been dedicated to God. He said, you have it. Listen, it's a gift, and by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. What Jesus was saying was that anytime they had some money and their parents were in need, rather than helping their parents, they looked and said, listen, I'm going to dedicate this money to God. Now, that doesn't mean that they were going to go to the temple and pay it, but it was dedicated to God. It could not be spent on the parents. And if a need arose in the temple, then they might think about actually giving it. But what it was an end around to the fifth commandment to say, I don't have to help take care of my parents because the money that I have has all been designated to God. Well, I've got a 401k, but I don't want to liquidate that because then I'll be out. Now, I'm just saying we use a lot of excuses of why we're not going to help our aging parents. We have a responsibility, I think, when they come to that age, to make sure that they're taken care of. And I believe that's part of honoring them for being God's special person to help raise you and take care of you. The fifth commandment has no expiration. No matter how old you are, you must honor your father and your mother. Where are you at in that walk today? Tonight we're going to talk about parents' responsibilities, so I'm not really hitting that hard on that. If you don't come back tonight, then I'll know. No, I'm just teasing. But as a child, every one of us in here have parents. They may not be living. Maybe they're estranged. But every one of us has that responsibility to honor them. I've given you some different ideas and some different ways. It's not an exhaustive list. And maybe you know your relationship with your mom and dad is not what it should be and certainly not what it could be. Maybe you need to make a phone call this afternoon. Maybe you need to write a letter. Maybe you need to go see them if they're close enough. Maybe you live in the same house with them still, and you realize you've not been the child that God has called you to be to honor your father and your mother. God takes it very, very seriously. So should we. Why don't we close our eyes and bow our heads for just a moment?